The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And how delightful that image. A fruit salad bowl in all the colors of the rainbow, a cornucopia of good stuff. What a lovely vision for this moment, with all the fresh produce of summer overflowing our gardens, gracing the fruit stands, and filling our dinner tables. What a wholesome, healthy image. But to achieve a bountiful harvest, we have to put in the work. Early planting means we watch out for and blanket our sprouts to protect against an early frost. Dry spells require watering. We apply pesticides or locate partner plants for our gardens. We weed and we weed and we weed. And we set up netting or chicken wire to guard against hungry wildlife. There is so much that jeopardizes our harvest. The Apostle Paul knew the harvest of the Galatian disciples was also at risk because Galatian disciples, like all of us, are human, and human beings are prone to the frost of indifference, to the blight of hatred, the attack of envy, the weeds of jealousy. In fact, the weeds of jealousy might be what prompted this letter from Paul to the early church. Paul had visited the province of Galatia on his first missionary journey, including the cities of Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, cities in what we know today as Turkey. Like many of those early churches, the members included both Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and there were some among the Jewish Christians who believed that all Christ followers still needed to obey all the laws and rules of Judaism, including the rule about circumcision. So a dividing wall of sorts arose in these communities, perhaps sparked by jealousy that these Gentile Christians didn't have to follow the same rules. Paul reminded the Galatians that Jesus' life and ministry was all about breaking down the walls of division. Relationships within the church should reflect the relationship each person has with God, one of deep love. Paul quotes both Hebrew scripture and tradition and Jesus when he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Love, God-like love. Weighs heavily into the equation of community, and it outweighs anything that leads to hatred, discord, division, jealousy, anger, or bitterness, because those things do not come from God. The freedom Paul writes of is not a wildness that runs amok, but a freedom within the boundaries of neighbor love. Not a freedom that takes advantage of others, but a freedom that emphasizes both equality through the way we serve one another in humility and grace, and also a caution against vengeful reciprocity. Verse 15, "If you bite and devour one another, you will be destroyed by each other." It's both an obligation and a call, says Pastor Carol Holtz Martin of the First Baptist Church of Macedon, New York. "We have an obligation to God and to our neighbors," she says, "to invest ourselves in the community of faith and to exist in community with such openness and generosity that our neighbor's well-being is part and parcel of our own." That sums up this scriptural journey through Paul's letters that we have traced through August. I've encouraged you to imagine yourselves as the people of God who believe and receive and become God's love, who care and who share that love in the world, who are transformed through seeking the ways of Jesus Christ. It's this ongoing transformation of ours that bears fruit, fruit in ourselves, fruit that becomes visible to the world through our actions and behaviors. Joyce Rupp is a Roman Catholic speaker, writer, and contemplative. In her book, May I Have This Dance, she reflects on the work of the Spirit and in particular this passage from Galatians. She says, "I used to think of these fruits as things given to us, like something in a gift box. Now I think of them not as things, but as energies. They are dynamic sources of growth in us, these gifts of sacred life, alive and pulsing, move through our inner being like blood pumped from the heart through the whole system. The energies of God can move us toward action, and we can choose whether or not to act upon these energies, whether or not to allow them to become effective in us. When I think about these fruits, whether I think of them as gifts or as energies, I think how much I want my life to be filled with those, to be filled with love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, even self-control. I want my life to be filled with those, and I contemplate what that gift of sacred love and sacred life feels like, and I realize it is what I want for me, so it's the choice I make for myself. It's the choice I make for my community. It is the choice I make and the actions that I take for and within this community. And so I commit to the work in myself of weeding and watering, protecting and preserving, in order that the fruit of the Spirit might grow in me. I choose the path Paul calls freedom, not to run amok, but to walk in the Spirit and to live with God and with God's people in the world. Imagine that, people of God. Choose with me to imagine and to act. Amen.